Jim, today is brought to you by Cathedral High School. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, so the Timberwolves knock off San Antonio yesterday. Final score was 114-109. Victor Wembanyama ejected in the second quarter. Wolves had to rally in the fourth to win it. Your thoughts, Jim?
I mean, the NBA playoffs are just kind of epic all the time, and last night was wild. I was there, and Wembanyama has a great reputation as a human being, as a nice person, somebody who treats everyone well, and he seems to have tried to act like he has a little more edge in these playoffs. I think he wants to, you know, signal to his team that in the world that he's ready to be a winner and he's ready to play with an edge if that's what's required. But that was just ridiculous. That was vicious. He probably will get a fine. He probably, because it happened the first half, they probably won't set him out another game. They'll probably consider the remainder of that game being out as his, you know, his main punishment. He'll probably get fined as well. Does it again, he could be in big trouble. That was just awful, though. And the Spurs' defense of it was, you know, Mitch Johnson, his defense of it was pathetic. You know, Jaden McDaniels was trying to tie him up. He wasn't beating him up. He wasn't doing anything other than everybody does in the playoffs, just trying to make a good physical play. And he just turns and just destroys Nas Reed. Now, I wrote about Nas this morning, and what struck me is Nas didn't complain at all. He didn't complain. He didn't start a fight. He didn't complain about it at the time. He didn't complain about it after the game. And I stood, you know, he didn't really talk much during the press conference. He just said, I asked him, you know, had he ever been hit like that? And what did he think of that elbow? And he said, all he said was, pain is weakness leaving the body. That's all he said. So I just, you know, listen, Nas is a very likable guy, and it's really admirable what he's done with his career, coming from being an undrafted player to a core player. But his attitude last night about it was hilarious. He joked about it in his locker. He wasn't even mad about it.
Yeah, and that's is interesting how, I mean, he just went up to guard him, and he was right there. And
yep.
I mean, I suppose Wembanyama is certainly a player that the Wolves have had to play aggressive with, but that's anybody would play him against them, right? Isn't that kind of how it would be?
Every good offensive player, well, every good offensive player faces physical play. Every good offensive player has teams testing how far they can push it without getting, you know, fouling out or without getting technical fouls. Every player deals with it. Anthony Edwards deals with it. Usually something leads up to this. I don't think the Wolves have been overly physical with Wembanyama. I think he was trying to make some kind of a statement, and he made it in a really bad way.
How do you feel how the Spurs played without him?
I actually thought they played really well with him. And they were 12-6 this year in the regular season without him, and they won a playoff game without him. So I think they're 13-6 this year overall without him. You know, and he's not there, their guards take over, and they push pace, and they hit threes, and they are really good. And, you know, Castle's an excellent player, and Dylan Harper had a great game last year. He's going to be a monster. I mean, this Spurs team is probably going to go right past Oklahoma City and be the best team in basketball for a while here. We just don't know when it's going to happen. You know, I don't know, maybe Oklahoma City's defense will find a way to handle them, but that's, you know, if that ended up being them, I mean, those two teams are going to be playing for championships for a while now. They're young. They're very well built. They're very athletic. They have MVP candidates leading the way. The question is, can the Wolves, you know, did the Wolves catch this Spurs team before they're quite ready to win?
So now they get into game five. Any adjustments? I mean, at this point, you know each other pretty well. Doesn't it just come down to shot making?
Well, shot making, but I don't think people appreciate how hard it is to coach in the NBA and how you're making adjustments minute by minute, sometimes every shot clock by shot clock, constant adjustments. Most college coaches cannot coach in the NBA because they can't deal with the constant reactions you have to make. You know, most college coaches coach their own system. NBA coaches have to be all over what the other team is doing all the time. So, yeah, they know each other, but there will be back and forth. There will continue to be back and forth adjustments. But, yeah, I mean, also, it's true that if you don't make shots, none of the other stuff matters.
How much is that knee bothering Edwards? Because he doesn't seem like it's – he just kind of pushing through at this point.
Yeah, he's pushing through. He seems to be fine. He said that conditioning is the problem. In fact, one of the reasons they had trouble ball handling and getting the ball up court in the last minute or so when the Spurs started trapping is Edwards is just kind of gassed. And they didn't think they could hand him the ball and tell him to break the press. So they're trying to find other ways to do it. Io let himself get trapped. Finch was low on timeouts. They end up throwing a Hail Mary at the end that gets to Io. Otherwise, who knows what happens at the end of that game. So it wasn't pretty, but they found a way.
All right, so the Minnesota Wild, they posted a big win on Saturday. They knock off Colorado and held them to one goal. Your thoughts on the Wild taking game three?
Yeah, we talked about the fact that they just couldn't give Colorado free goals the way they did in the first two games. And obviously, we've seen a steady progression. Game two was better than game one. Game three was excellent. And Volstead stepped back in, played excellent, played wonderfully. And they were better. Maybe it was having a little bit of extra step on home ice. Maybe it was just kind of understanding exactly what Colorado was doing to them. But speaking of games of adjustments, and they had to make sure they weren't beaten down the ice, and they had to stop giving Colorado space in front of the net, and they basically did that.
All right, so your thoughts on game four tonight. If the Wild win this one, they're in the same situation as the Wolves, even up the series.
Yeah. Obviously, there's no way around it. It's a big game. You go down 3-1 to a very good team that has home ice advantage. That doesn't look very good. You win this one, and, I don't know if it's a coin flip, but you have a real fighting chance to find a way to win the series. It would be an epic upset. It would kind of stun the NHL, I think, and it would put the Wild on a championship path. But they still haven't gotten by him. They've only won one game.
So you mentioned Wallstead played well in this game. Was it beneficial, do you think, for him to sit in game two?
Yeah, that's the thing is, Gustafson did not play well in game two. And you could second guess Hines for playing him in game two when he wasn't that good down the stretch and he was a little rusty. But I just think Wallstead needed the break. I just think he needed. Yeah, I don't think things would have turned out well if he had played him, and then he might not have been any good for game three. So, and kind of sacrificing game two, but I think they had to.
The Twins yesterday end up knocking off Cleveland 5-4. They take 2 out of 3 against the Guardians this weekend. Cody Clemens had 3 hits. Brooks Lee continues to hit the ball well. A couple of hits for him, a run and an RBI. And they had to kind of patch it together. Kendry Rojas, a young player, rookie, 3 1/3 innings, allowed just 1 run in bulk relief. He gets the win. Your thoughts on that Twins victory and how they did on the weekend?
Yeah, nice weekend. And it's kind of a reminder here that the Twins have been playing pretty lousy for about 3 weeks. This is a reminder the division is just not – nobody's running away with this division. And, if the Twins had made a couple of moves this offseason, they spent any money, significant money, and gotten middle-of-the-order bat to play first base and maybe a closer and a setup man, they might be in first place right now. As bad as it's been, the division just is not that good. At least it's not now. Cleveland or Detroit could take off at some point, but so far it has been a competitive division. Bad news is Taj Bradley goes on the injured list. He's been phenomenal with a strained pec. Luckily, it's a pec. It's not an elbow or a shoulder, so maybe it's a short stay. I don't love this roster. It's nice that Buxton is still tearing it up. It's gonna be hard for them to be competitive, but at least they're within sight of the leaders for the moment.
I saw that Gomez got the save yesterday. One of the players that they recently acquired. We talked about him last week. Is he a guy that could be a decent closer? I mean, his ERA is pretty high, but I suppose he's a journeyman.
I mean, they don't have a closer on their roster. They don't really have. They have guys who are borderline setup men. Just because somebody closes a game doesn't mean he's really a closer. So he's worth a look. He has enough talent in the twin situation, it's absolutely worth bringing him in and taking a look at him and seeing what he could develop into. But yeah, he's not somebody I don't think you just put in the closer role. And again, you can have somebody close the game. That doesn't mean he's actually a big league closer.
Jim, your thoughts on the start the Minnesota Lynx are off to?
They lost that opener, lost it down the stretch is a painful way to do it. They're missing Collier for a while now. They are missing Dorca Juhas, who had a great year in Europe and will probably make a big difference when she's here. I just, you know, it just feels like a season that's going to be difficult to manage because you have, you know, Collier out for so long. You lost some key players. You lost your depth. Cheryl will certainly have them be competitive. So they kind of, you know, their goal, their task is to stay in a decent position until they get Juhas and Collier back. And then we'll see if they, you know, they're the kind of team that can make a playoff run. But, you know, the regular season might be pretty spotty.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Full slate is up at TalkNorth.com. Good Shin Music with Roy Small and Lavelle Neal talking about the Twins' issues. Lots of football content. Jeff Diamond, Alec Lewis, and the Viking Update Show. We'll do a John Krasinski show about the Wolves and get that out today. Previewing the next game, talking about Wemby and everything that happened in this game, and everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribuners podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, is brought to you by Cathedral High School. All right, Dream Getaway 92, first code word of the day is useful. U-S-E-F-U-L, useful. Type that in. You could win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is useful, U-S-E-F-U-L. Dream Getaway sponsors include Schwebel, Getz, and Sieben, Burst Travel, Tony's Lifetime Exteriors, Buyer Built Woodworks, Channel Marine and Sports, Marshak Enterprise Paving Contractor, and us here at WJON. So the first code word is useful, and that would be useful in you and trying to win a dream getaway, a vacation of a lifetime. Next code word at 10:20. We'll also have one at 12:28 today, and an app-only bonus code word coming your way at 3 this afternoon. Next on WJON, we've got world and national news from ABC, followed by local news.